media, or with the Torah, I should say. And certainly, everything we learned is important to keep in mind. Everything. Okay. We'll have to start again. Tonight's topic is a delicate topic. It's an important one. The halacha of taras hamishpacha. In an hour and a half. Now, you know, they both have a college class, you know, 6 months or 3 months, 10 sessions. We'll have to start with that. Tonight's topic is a delicate topic. It's an important one. The halacha of taras hamishpacha. In an hour and a half. Now, you know, they both have a college class, you know, 6 months, 3 months, 10 sessions, who knows what. I can do it all in an hour and a half. Well, that's why I got a little bit of a head start. We spoke in the earlier class, those who happen to have been here, about related issues. We spoke about the halachos of Tevila, and a bit about Chatzitza, a little bit. And something wrong with Sineus, in a general sense. But I will try to discuss now the Iker of Taras HaMishpacha. And if you have any questions, you can always ask either by raising your hand or by talking to me afterwards. If I can end a few minutes early, or you can always call me up if necessary. The laws of Taras HaMishpacha are particularly sensitive today because they relate exclusively to husband and wife. The old days, the time of the Torah, was much more than that. The halachic status of a woman who was called a nido or zava, as well as that of a man who was called a zava the Torah or something of this nature, related not only to the intimacy between husband and wife, but to all areas. You sat on a chair. That's the Torah. If a woman is a neither. She's on the chair is coming. So I mean, it was obvious. I don't know who was and who wasn't. You needed the bread. You learned Chumash, Sari Meina, you know. Everyone knows. I mean, I don't know how you shoot in fourth grade in your schools. Rashi quotes over there, Parshas Vayera, in the very beginning, that part of the miracle of Sarah's newfound youth was Pierce and Nida, the Chala was coming, the whole story. I mean, this is a. So for that very reason, it wasn't such a sensitive topic because it related, it applied to single women. Right? A single woman, she sat in the chair, also had the same status. So it had to be discussed. But now, precisely because it's so unidimensional, relating only to between husband and wife, that's why it's a matter which requires so much news. We mentioned in the previous class about the importance of a woman not letting anybody know when she's going to the mikvah, to keep it as private as possible, to be called sneers. What did they do in the old days? They couldn't. You know, sit in this chair, sit in this chair. In the old days, precisely because it related to other areas of life, so it wasn't such a sensitive matter. It was much more a matter of fact. Now, it became, as an extra measure of sensitivity, much more than before. People are, you know, sometimes are upset that a rav talks about these things, especially after they're married, so they're shouted by a rav and these sensitive areas. And I always say, I don't get it. If you go to a doctor, you don't, I mean, you feel a certain measure of sneakers, you know. If you have to go to the doctor, you have to go to the doctor. If the doctor does more than the rav, he does this and that and other thing which is necessary for his medical practice. So yes, it's a healthy measure of sneakers, but you have to understand that you trust the discretion and the sensitivity of the doctor, so same thing should apply to that of the rav, that he doesn't blabber, he has his confidential and discreet, and the other things to think about but you don't have to worry about it, and you should not hesitate to approach a rav, you or your husband, or for your marriage, yourself, your parent, this is something which is very important. Okay. Now we will go to the Tetralos of Hilchos Nida, I want to show you a couple of books. One very nice sefer is called the Bali HaShulchan. It has the two volumes, Bible Koan. And many other Kitzurim in Hebrew and English, which I recommend. There's one called Paras Pas Yisrael, where the Kalman Kahana is in front of the Rova. There's an Hebrew and an English. Then there are many other Torah, Ravadi has a beautiful sefer, of Mordechai Elio, a nice sefer. There are other Torah in English. Many beautiful Torah exist on these sensitive issues. And I want to tell you, and you know, I'm giving two classes here, I can tell you that in my opinion, Hilchos Nida is much easier than Hilchos Shabbos. There are many, many more halachos than Hilchos Shabbos. A lot of people panic out when they get engaged. I'm going to do what I'm going to learn. This is new. You've been doing things wrong on Shabbos for 10 years. But now it's something new, so you're also more worried about it. It's the psychology behind it. It's also a sensitive issue. The Ramah begins with a strange word, a strange halacha. He said that the laws of Nida apply even to a single woman. Correct? Hey, begin. Obvious. What's the chiddush? What's new? A woman is single and doesn't go to the mikveh, lives with a man. Aside from the prohibition against living with a man without the benefit of marriage, is also a serious matter. Much more serious matter of Nida, at least occurs. It's obvious. No. So some approach with the following explanation. So the Gemara tells him to accept the Nida, that's Laman Aleph. Why is it that the Torah introduced the laws of Nida? Why? Of course, we don't ask why. Ours is not the reason why. But that's in the time of the crop. We don't follow the reason, even if we know what the reason is. But yet, the Gemara does ask why, it often does. Answer the Gemara like this. So that the woman, she has to separate from her husband for, let's say, for a week, and she comes back after she goes to the mikvah, so she should be chaviva alav kiyom shenichnas lechuppah. But the relationship should be renewed and reinvigorated just as the night of the chuppah. We know that familiarity breeds contempt, and if it's an uninterrupted relationship, it sometimes loses a special significance, which it should have at all times. And in order that this should be maintained, this special feeling between husband and wife, that Allah has declared, the Torah declared, that the woman is just what she's in need of, she's off limits, out of bounds. So you might have thought the Ramah's right. Oh, but if they're not married, then there's no, the whole thing shouldn't apply. We're not trying to encourage them to be together. Should we know, there's no need that Allah should apply. You might have thought that the reason doesn't apply, the law doesn't apply. Ramah doesn't know. For the reason that the point, the law applies anyway. Okay. So I'll be discussing a number of points with you, and it's obvious you can't discuss everything in one shiur. I'll try to discuss the highlights. By Torah law, going according to the Shulchan Aruch, say that. By Torah law, a woman is not treated as a nida unless she has what we call in Hebrew hargasha. Hargasha means feeling, literally. What exactly is the hargasha? It's a big dispute amongst the poskim. Some say when she feels the womb opening, she feels like a cervix, which is the opening of the womb, she feels it opening, that's considered to be hargasha. I'm not an expert in the field too much, but I'm told that women don't usually feel that nowadays. I don't know. Second definition to the Rambam is Nizdaz Nu Eivareho. She feels a certain tremor, a trembling a feeling in her limbs. You know, you're the person has a, you don't feel well, you feel like they have a, you know, I don't know how to describe it, you feel a little fever, but you feel a certain kind of tremble. This I'm told someone will do that when the period comes. Then, number three is the most controversial. Some accept it, some don't. It's called Zivas Dover La. Sensation of the flow of a liquid. I assume all women have this. when the period begins. But it's a matter of dispute exactly as to whether this is considered Hargosha, which the Torah speaks of or not. Some say yes, some say no, and some say sometimes. I mean sometimes. Depends where this feeling exists. The Chavos Da'at, one of the classic proportions, that's a compromise. If the flow is felt externally, he writes nothing. The flow is felt internally, what does internally mean? By the opening of the womb, by the cervical area, then you don't feel the womb opening, as it were, if you do feel the flow through that area, then it is considered to be in the category of Hargosha. Appropriate, I believe, in the normal condition to follow this compromise view. Some of us should say that if a woman has constant secretion, mucus, and all kinds of other things, and she always feels it even internally, she feels it, and things are coming out, and she checks herself 3 times and sees that it's not red at all, it's yellow or clear, not a problem in halacha, then from that point on, she no longer has to consider this sensation to be hargosha, because it's clear that this does not signify the necessarily signify the onset of nida, because it can be something completely different, which she is feeling. Now, I mentioned before that by Torah law, a woman is not a nida unless she experiences this hargosha. What if there's no hargosha, but still she sees on her garments or on something else, she sees dam? So she has the status of a nida, what we call the derabbanan by rabbinic law. That is called a kesem. What does a kesem mean? A stain. Well, again, there's a lot of intricacies, but one of the most posk of anything which is not called which you don't feel, whatever the hargosha is called, whatever the deep spirit is conversion, what it is defined as a kesem. The exception, I do what we call in Hebrew a bedika. Bedika is an internal examination. Bedika, which is not of the status of a kesem, for a simple reason, the post can say, when a woman inserts something internally, it's possible that she presses down, and that's really a hargosha. She doesn't realize that it's the hargosha of her body, as opposed to the thing which is pressed down. Well, long story, anyway. If there is an internal examination, then it has the status of a bedika. If not, it has the status of a kesem. What's the difference? If it's prohibited, what do we care? Whether by Torah law, by rabbinic law, it's all the same thing? No. If it's a kesem, the Chazal instituted 3 separate and distinct and important leniencies, all of which apply only to a kesem and not to a regular Ria, not if she actually felt it or she did a bedika. What are these 3 leniencies? 1, if it's small, if the stain is small, less than the size of, let's say, of a dime or a penny, then we can be lenient. What's the reason for this? Well, interesting. In the olden days, we used to have little tiny bumps, which were all over the place. We didn't have showers, you couldn't get rid of them. And a little tiny bug, if you put your hand on it, pressed on it, it would kill the bug, it would be a little bit of dot. So they say, well, maybe, who knows, maybe it's from a bug. You know, today we don't all have bugs, we hope, in our hygienic society. Nevertheless, since it did not come with any sensation, and it was only rabbinical ordinance in the first place, and according to many, the rabbinical ordinance was applied to the husband and wife only because it had to be applied to the ritual purity aspect of the Beis Hamikdash, Truma, etc., etc. It's no longer applied nowadays. But for this reason, nowadays, if she did not have any hargosha, she did not feel it, less the size of a gris, so a gris is the size of a penny, a bean, then we can be lenient. So I repeat, this only applies leniency to a case of a kesem, a stain. Does not apply if she felt it, and does not apply if she did a bedika, which is the equivalent of feeling. There are other areas which are very sensitive to discuss what kind of status does it have. I had a shayla just yesterday. Woman went to the doctor. The doctor did an examination. and said to her, "I'm sorry to tell you to be the bearer of bad tidings. You have a uterine bleeding. There's blood coming out of the uterus. And what kind of status does that have?" She found it on certain on a garment. Let's say it was too small, whatever it is. What's in that kind of case? Complicated. Not a simple shiloh. Another much more common shiloh. The women who have a hefter for birth control, we discussed, I think, a couple of weeks ago. Didn't we discuss that with the Ramayat, right?
Yeah.
So let's say she had a hefter to use on something called a diaphragm. A diaphragm is something she inserted near the cervix, deep inside. And it prevents the zera abal from going into the uterus, so that she cannot conceive. The question becomes, what if she sees dam on this diaphragm? Cool. A big problem. The consensus view, it depends which side she sees it on. So on the outside, you probably get some outside source, whatever it may be, so it's all right, but usually it's on the inside. From the inside, it all actually came from the uterus. And even though she didn't feel anything before she saw it on the device, and she didn't do an internal examination, the pulse might generally speak in script, because here it was a pressure. We put it with pressure, which was very confusable with Haragosha, and therefore it's a big problem. On the other hand, a woman is not required to look for trouble. Not required to look for anything if it's not need for it. So, but I have these shadows that I always tell the woman who has this head to use it. If she removes it from her body, she wants to wash. She should wash it literally with her eyes closed. Literally, her eyes closed. Close her eyes, take it out, wash it off. Open your eyes afterwards. There's nothing on. No, there was. What else is the leniency with as far as the kesef is staying? If the garment is colored, if the dam is found on a blue, a pink, a yellow undergarment, then there's no leniency of kesef. Because you know, you can't exactly tell what the color is. I mean, we do know what it is, but they haven't made it there because we didn't put a line with the black and blue and yellow and pink, but they were about there, everything. And the third leniency is Eino Mekabel Tumah, something which is not, an object which cannot become ritually impure. It's very important for synthetic undergarments. For the most authorities, they're not Mekabel Tumah. And therefore, there will be no status of Nida if a Kesef is found on such a garment. It's important to mention that a woman, a very common child, goes to the bathroom, and after she goes to the bathroom, she takes a little piece of toilet tissue or regular tissue, just wipes around outside, externally, which is what's required by proper practice of hygiene, she sees dam. So the din is that dam is a status of a kesef, it's called a stain. It's not called a bedika or a riyah because it's not inserted internally. Very important. For this reason, a person should, the Ramah recommends that a woman who's tahora, who right now is presently what we call tahora, she's puteres, she should wear colored undergarments just in case. Would be a stain, be able to permit it on the ground that it's uncolored. If you wear white, you're in trouble. I guess if you wear white polyester, it's okay, but who would not want to wear it? If you wear cotton will tumble. The stain would apply ideally to toilet tissue or tissue. You shouldn't use white, you should use pink, yellow, whatever, like blue they have, something but not white. Truth to tell, some say that tissue is not a cotton tumble anyway. This is a piece of junky paper, but that's a whole matter of dispute. Some say it's a problem because it's the person who's holding it on her own body, and she gives mekabel tumah, the whole discussion. But to avoid the discussion, the simplest thing to do is to use color. Similarly, there are more rights to use colored sheets. In case a drop of dam is found on the sheet, for whatever reason, it's a colored sheet, so then she has a right to be lenient. What happens if a woman sees a stain? Is she required to run and do what we call a bedika examination? Absolutely not. On the contrary, don't do it. may cause the immediate status of Dina. You're not required to do something. I should add, there's a tremendous amount of da'as that comes out. We can't just call it a kesef, you know, the whole winter theory, never be an either. Some of them don't, I'm told, some of them don't feel anything coming out, or we rely on this linear view that feeling it is not a hargosha at all. The liquid flow that you feel, or it's not a hargosha if you don't feel it all the way inside, and you don't feel that deep. So a woman can go a whole life without being a need, that's ridiculous. So the possible say, well, if you see so much, it must be that you felt, you didn't realize it, or something like that. And therefore they say it's a very big stain. You cannot rely on these needs. How big is big? So some say a silver dollar, some say a dollar bill. A large stain of that nature. You can't just make it in the world, only call it gum, but I guess we're shy by a rope, this kind of case. Orphan, a woman can have a wound called Dam Mako. Dam Mako, Dam of a wound, when we pass the halacha, it's not render an issue to be neither. It's like a bloody finger, bloody nose. It's nothing to do with the normal neither cycle. A very major dispute, very major. What happens in the case where the dam is in fact coming from the uterus? The dam is coming out because of a maka. Certain tests are done. Not even a physician puts something in to take some biopsy. Some dam is coming out. And that dam is part of the lining, if you will, that waxes and wanes month in and month out. And now it's coming out prematurely because of the trauma of the doctor's examination. What halakhic status does that have? Is it dandid or is it not dandid? Big time machlokes, big dispute. I saw the Chazanish quoted as saying that it's not dandid. He knows the lining coming out. Others are very opposed to that. No. Dam macha means the inner wall of the uterus, which is stationary. It doesn't never waxes and wanes, never sheds, never gets bigger, never gets smaller. If in that area there'll be a cut, that's called Dam Mako. But if the area which is where the blood is coming from is the regular lining, then it's supposed to come out in a week from now. And because someone pushed on it and came out a week earlier, or the other post against Chazanish, that is exactly Dam Nika. It's not called Dam and Habaka, that's not Habaka, that's the lining which comes in and out. That's a big dispute. I can't resolve that dispute, I don't know how. There's a new book called Be Fruitful and Multiply. That's a book which is written by Dr. Razi and a few others, Tzadikim, who are concerned with couples who have infertility problems. So obviously these shahs are very significant to those with such couples. He writes in that same person, it's not like this, he hasn't resolved it. That the one shot is not resolved in that book. Everything is black, white, yes, no, blah. That way he's afraid to take a stand. It's such a matter of dispute. You have a shot, you have to ask Pharaoh to know what the thing is in such a case. We should hear that the hefter of Dam Maka is almost called a Maka Shia Dua Shavoti Dam. It's a wound that we know that it bleeds. What we have to make up out of the clear blue sky, I have a Maka. That's ridiculous. So she'll never be needed. She'll just make up she has a maka. No. If you know that there is a maka, you just don't know that it's a kind that usually bleeds, you don't know. It's not clear, the doctor doesn't know, you didn't do an examination, well. Then it depends. We have a right to be lenient as long as she's not expecting a period. Have to find out a bit more rigorously later on. It's what's called Shabbat B'Shaz Vesta, which is not expected in the period. We can be lenient for this kind of a mark, even though she doesn't know for sure that it bleeds, but she knows she has a marker, and it's the wrong time of the month for the period, so we assume it's coming from the marker, not coming from the regular period. Comes up sometimes. Either a doctor verifies that there is a wound, or sometimes we settle with a midwife view. So doctors are fancy. Talk to get the doctor, come back in 3 weeks, and great. So you would be through a midwife that we sent for people to make sure there's something wrong. And the sentence is a wound which is likely the cause of the damp. And it can even be a case in which the cloth itself could be a giveaway in the back. I once had a shayla. It was amazing. It was the week of somebody's wedding. And all of a sudden, it started problems. So I was brought a certain specimen, one or two. Each and every time, on the tip, the top, which is higher up, was clean as a whistle. And all the way in the corner on the side was red. And it was a fear. I used to catch it at the time. So I asked the Choshevara, I remember I asked the Shavir Shabbos. He happened to be in America that week. So I asked him, he said, that's mutter. It's obvious from the fact that the top is always clean and the side of one corner is always red. It's obviously coming from that part of it. There must be a wound, some external wound somewhere in that area. It is a clear indication we also have a right to be legal. What exactly is a clear indication? That's tough. It's a very tough call. What's an indication? What's not an indication? I had a shayla recently when there was a question, this, that. I asked another rabbi about it, and it doesn't think that's a sufficient indication. Go to a doctor to check it out, or some other person to see. He's making assumptions without sufficient basis. I should add, again, also important, that dam nida means something which is red. Red, yellow is not dam nida. The biggest shayla I want to deal with is the color brown. Major shayla with browns. Different rabbanim, different sukkim, different kabbalas and the soros, when it turns brown. And the Shulchan Aruch itself it says, the brown on its own would be mutter. Only if it's reddish brown. Reddish brown is no good. Well, what brown is reddish? What brown is not reddish? It's a very hard call. And it's hard to look. You don't know where you have to get the natural light. You try to look at the sunlight. Look at the sunlight, you'll see what they call the red highlights. Kind of brown, but it's red highlights. That's a problem. It's no good in that kind of a case. But some are bottom are too machmer if you ask me. They're machmer and everything. Any little brown, even if it's not red all day, they're machmer. And this, I don't think it's something which is my Messiah, not that way. My Kabbalah, my tradition is brown, there's no reddish whatsoever. You have a right to be lenient. And even if you'll say, but I'm telling you it's blood, dry blood, and it comes out brown, it's on a handkerchief, you cut your finger, you dab the handkerchief, come back to the next day, it's brown. What's going on? I'm not going to knock your brown Zadika. And the answer is, you're right. Very possible that the dam is brown is dam. We don't know for sure. And maybe if it became brown before it left the body, it would not create a status of nida, because now nida only creates a status of nida when it leaves the uterine area to go down past the cervical area. That's what's called ben ashinayim, the rabbi's euphemism. When it goes past that point, then it engenders a status of nida, before that not. So if it's brown, turned brown in utero, the pashas would not be considered dam nida. So it's also a possibility. This of course requires a great deal of experience, shimush, and sensitivity. We ask rabbanim who know what the din is. If you're to you get married, you live in a community of rabbanim, you find someone to ask. If you don't, you live somewhere in a community we don't have a rabbi, you're going to ask. There's no problem there. Absolutely no problem. FedEx. FedEx. So I get FedEx from time to time. FedEx. I get Florida, I get them from here, from there. In Canada once in a while, you get all the FedEx comes, Maybe gold, that'd be gold. I wish. Maybe somebody will one day. Usually it's just simply a Mare, which there's no rabbi they have in the city. So they get there next day. They need a phone number, and then at the end, it's finished. I should add that if a woman wants to remain anonymous in these matters, even that's possible. Put some 25-digit number, you know, so you just remember to memorize yourself. Then you call the next day, you know, I am 6824 months. Okay, I got you. Right? I didn't get it. But what's it did, Rabbi? You can remain anonymous forever? I have some anonymous friends. I don't know who they are. They come from Brooklyn. These are the to watch out. The person did like 6-7 or something, or they trace it back. You know? I never did it, but I want to do it. But anonymous. Remember, I'm going to call you last week, or last month, or this. I can understand that. They don't want. I get many shadows in the office, sometimes the husband only, sometimes the wife only. Some come anonymous, some come this, some come that. Whatever the person feels appropriate. Are there any questions? Unusually silent class. Don't be afraid. If you want to ask me, ask me. I'm on. Yes?
The woman is expecting
the period
of her time, and
it doesn't
apply, and
it's wrong, and not there. That's the next thing we're going to discuss. Something called a vest. Not a sweater vest. The real one would be vestes. But they call it vestos. In Hebrew, in plural, they call it vest sometimes. What is a vest? What does it mean? If you look at the, actually, I put a clutch here and there. The period, we'll call it for this term, like a monthly period, the average period of the month. A monthly period, what happens when the vest comes? So there are two halakhas which pertain to a vest, at least some vestals. One is what we call prisha. A woman may not be with her husband, it means relations are prohibited during the period, during the time when the period is expected. We'll go into detail in a moment. Second, in some cases, a woman is required just even to do a bedika during that period of time. During that, we'll see again, we'll be more precise as we go. The only time a woman has to do a bedika is one of two situations. A, a versus kavua, which we shall see, so it's rare. And B, something which is called an ona benonis, an average cycle, which is a similar status to ona benonis to the vestis kavua in many respects. Let's now take a step back. What is a vest? The simplest vest is simply an interval. An interval. A woman sees dam every 25 days, every 35 days. Yes?
What was that people already used?
Benonis.
No,
Ovesa? Ovesa? Vesa, Vo, Sava, Sof. It's a period. It's an average cycle.
Okay.
Thanks. Okay, no problem. A woman has an interval every 25 days, every 35 days, every 28 days. So, on the anticipated day of the next period, these halachas apply. For it to be a vestis kavua in intervals, you have to have three intervals. You have to have four different riyas in order for the monthly cycles, for the 3 month, the three time constant interval to be established. For example, woman sees, start day one. Day one, then she sees, I don't know, day 30. Let's make it 31. Day one, day 31, day 61. Still not a versus kavua, she only saw twice in 30 day intervals. 91, now she saw three times in 30 day intervals. Got it? 1, 31, 61, 91. So 3 30 days cycles. On day 121, whoa, that's a use the word red letter day. That's a day she has to watch out. She cannot be with her husband at that time, she has to do a bedika at that time. It's called the vestis kavua. However, although we measure the vestis in 24-hour clips, so I just did it until now, in terms of the night and the following day, But in order to make it kavua, it's only if it's exactly the same half of the day-night unit three times in a row. In other words, if you saw the 31st night and the 61st night and the 91st night, so the 121st night is the time of the vessel. But she saw once by day, once by night, once by day, once by night, all that stuff, then it, she doesn't establish any Bezos Kavua. Most women today don't have Bezos Kavua.
This is from before.
Did
you say that a stain on the sheets? I don't understand. When you said that the stain
would
be smaller than the size of a dime or something like that.
Smaller than the size of a dime,
it's
not a problem.
But once it gets on the sheet, it has more.
You're going to
have to
get
more.
I don't know. I can't vouch for that. I don't know. Smaller, bigger, bigger. It's not clear. Can't be smaller. It can be smaller. Yeah, I think yeah. Yeah. So, listen very carefully now, please. Most women today do not have a Vesus Kavua. It doesn't work that way anymore. Based on the Gemara, you're not going to believe this. Maybe you'll tell me it's true, right? I don't know, but it's a... Women were like clockwork. Not only by the day, by the hour. They would see 12 noon, 12 midnight, every single month at the same day, at the same hour. I don't know. Maybe things are different nowadays. Most of the shadows I get, that's a rarity apparently nowadays. So maybe some will have some different. So most women have what we call a Vesus She'eino Kavua. That means that in a given month, you have to worry about what happened last month, for the last interval. Let's say a woman saw, a 33-day interval. Most recent interval. So she saw it day one and then day 30, and then 33 days later. So she has to be machmir as far as Prisha, but not even with her husband, not in relation to the husband, the 33 days after that. That's called the Vesus She'eino Kavua. The big dispute is they were requiring for a bedika, for an internal examination. Does apply, as we mentioned before, to a Vesus Kavua, which is rare nowadays. It does apply to an owner bananas, which is not so rare nowadays. We'll get to that later what that means. Average, right? We'll go into details. And the dispute whether it applies to a Vesus She'eino Kavua. I think you have a right to be lenient in that matter, not to worry about a Vesus She'eino Kavua, as far as bedikas are concerned. What exactly is this on the bane of this story? When is it? Big dispute. Because you see, there's one more kind of a vessel. We just discussed before a flutter, which means interval. And then another kind called the vessel hachodesh, which means you have to worry about the day you saw last month, you have to worry about next month. If you see on, for argument's sake, the, I don't know, 15th day of Iyar, to about the 15th day of Sivan. And it's irrespective of how many days are between the one period and the next. In other words, the month, you know, the Jewish calendar. Tricky month we have since. We have a system of 29 or 30 days in a month. But irrespective of how many days intervene with the 29 or 30, it's the same day of the month. So again, three times Kavua. And if it's even just one time, it's called Eino Kavua, called the Vesus HaChodesh, the cycle of the month. And the major dispute now is, question.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's just for that day that you have to be concerned, or from that day until eventually?
Just that day, or that night, as we'll discuss in a moment. Just that day or night. The question is, what is Ona Benenis? What is it? three opinions. Some say Ohn Abandonish is exactly the same thing as Vesh Lachosh. Day of the next month, the same day next month. Others say no. Ohn Abandonish is always the 30th day. May 30th. Even a minority view that no. Ohn Abandonish is always the 31st day. It's hard to tell you how to pass the halacha because it's a big dispute. There are a bunch of different things. My personal opinion is certainly to worry about the day of the month. That's best of the Polish anyway. Many, if not most authorities say that's it, that's the only thing. That's the same as the best of the Polish, the same as all the vanities. You want to be Machmir, you should be Machmir in what we call a full month, a month of 31 days, to worry about the day before also, which is the 30th day. The 30th, first day, on what we call it, on an empty month, Chodesh Chaser, I would not have to be back with. So even the other one, if the grounds to be lenient. But I didn't get to the main point, which is that according to the Iker Adin, the entire discussion of Onam is limited, of the time of the expected period, is limited to that one unit, day or night. Which means, if in a given month the woman sees by day, for the next month, the only time she's prohibited to have a relationship with her husband is by day. And I mentioned to you before that by day, anyway, because of laws of steel, it's not appropriate. So it doesn't really make much of a difference anyway in most cases. I want to tell you a secret. Well, I can tell you if I'm wrong, but as I understand it, most women have the period at the beginning of the period is by day for an obvious reason. They people sleep at night. Other additional biological consideration, which is standing up, or sitting down, or lying down, whatever it may be. The most periods are by day, so if by day, strictly speaking, there will be no restriction of relations the next month, because by day it's anyway not appropriate, and by night, the night before, strictly speaking, is not a problem. But some say the night before is also a problem, it's a matter of dispute. But I'm saying, strictly speaking, we can except lenient view. It will only be a difference as far as the critique is concerned, as far as you have to check yourself at some time during that day, those daytime hours. Once again, in my opinion, only applies either to a vessel's kavua, which most of the time doesn't exist, or is the only really exception on abatis, which in this case we consider on abatis to be the day of the month, which is the majority view. Any question?
Yeah, I don't understand the vessel shouldn't kavua.
Vesh Shena Kavua means you didn't have 3 months in a row the same day of the month. You didn't see day three of the month, the third of Nisan, the third of Iyar, the third of Sivan. No. And it's not the same interval. 33, 33, 33. No. It's wacko. It's wild. 1 month is an interval of 27. The next month is an interval of 32. The next month is an interval of 28. The next one is interval of 35. It goes back and forth. That's the most of it that way. It's not total. It's not kavua. It's not set. So therefore, it's a vesa she'ena kavua. I'm telling you now, you only have to worry about a vesa she'ena kavua. You don't have to worry about a bedika. It's what we call prisha. Prisha means separation from relation to the husband at that night. If the month before took place at night. But, listen very carefully. A vesa she'ena kavua can be knocked out in 1 month. In other words, if a woman had a certain interval, a certain day of the month, take day of the month first. So a certain day of the month in the month of Nisan, and a different day of the month in the month of Iyar. So Nisan's day is knocked out, it's history, it's gone. All of these just worry about in Sivan is the day of the month of Iyar. As far as intervals are concerned, it's a little bit trickier. The only time that an interval is knocked out is when the subsequent month was longer. So if a woman saw 29 days, the interval is 29 days. In Nisan, she saw 29 days after the other period. And then in Iyar, she saw 32 days after the Nisan period, well, 29 is history. Gone, cross off the computer. Gone, out, forget about it. the knocks on the one, she's the other way around the problem. All the way around, she saw 32, day 32 in Nisan, and day 29 in Iyar. She's talking about both of them this evening, 32 and 29. The shorter one does not knock out a longer one. Poskim say that the maximum number of numbers you have to juggle in your hand and your head at the same time is three. So if you went, let's say, from 32 to 31 to 29 to 27, this for argument's sake, the following month, it's more about 27 and 29 and 31, the 32 is history. So you can't, otherwise you have to worry in your head you're going to keep track of all these things. You're not believe. So yeah, so that's only the last three months if it keeps getting short. Yes?
So how is the Vesa Shein HaKavua different from the Vesa Sechodesh?
A Vesa Shein HaKavua is different than the Vesa Sechodesh. Well, a Vesa Sechodesh can also be a Vesa Shein HaKavua. There are two kinds of Vesa Shein HaKavua. Either the Vesa Sechodesh Shein HaKavua, or we call the Vesa Plug Shein HaKavua, intervals. They can both be Shein HaKavua. That's what most of them have nowadays. Most of them are Shein HaKavua. You have to worry about these two things. The month, and the interval, and the possibility of all abandonment.
So a woman has to worry about both things, both the day of an interval and day of
the
whole.
Three things. The day of the interval, and the day of the month, and according to some authority, the third day, which is called the all abandonment, which could be a day before the day of the month. You know, depends on how the month is a 31-day month.
And all three times, all the halachos of prisha that all applies at all three times?
Meaning she keeps getting shorter and shorter. So the
I'm saying no, just...
Right. As far as intervals are concerned, without plugger. With the intervals, it's possible. That out, it goes on a computer. Have you seen anything on a computer? Don't buy it. But they give you so many chumras there. It's unbelievable. They give you, every chumra in the book they throw it. So, if you buy it, give me the program. I'll try to tinker with it a little bit. Take away some of those chumras there. Easier to chop. Okay. Again, going along the order of the Shulchan Aruch, look for the special cases. One is a kala. A kala has to observe the seventh clean age we're going to discuss soon. No matter how old she is, you can have a 70-year, I'm not kidding, you can have a 70-year-old kala who hasn't seen in 30 years. easy to chop. Okay. Again, going along the order of the Shulchan Aruch, for the special cases. What is a kala? A kala has to observe the seventh clean edge, we're going to discuss soon. No matter how old she is, you can have a 70-year-old, I'm not kidding, you have a 70-year-old kala, who hasn't seen in 30 years, or 20 years, she still has to keep the seven clean days. People don't realize, it's a very big problem. Second marriage, you have to remember, remind, like, out of, wow. P.S. to tell you, in the mikvah now that you find 70-year-old all the time. You know why? Put them on hormones. Put them on hormones for osteoporosis and other things of this nature. Put them on these, kind of hormones. They can be 65. I remember how these childless, woman is so old, she's embarrassed to go to the mikvah. She wants them to go by day. Before, you know, I don't go by day. Friday time, when I was convinced, he got the back door, and I was just seeing, I don't know. But there are people who are 60, 70 years old who are addicted to this, this reason. It's regular, cyclical, hormonal, depleted. The doctor will be on pills. You should be aware of that. But this is that decided point. If a woman is getting married, she always has to have these days. A what? Days less than regular.
Yeah, something like.
Oh, no, I know what you mean. I will count to that later. Let me count to that now. I think I discussed with you, but I don't get it. By the chuppah seder we spoke about last time?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's very important. Try to avoid it if it's at all possible. Set away days, you try to avoid it by setting it close to the chasna and to the time when it won't be. If you get at the end, doesn't work out, then you should use the pills, but you shouldn't make the pills a matter of course. It's just not a health thing and it's not good. There is a halacha, and these are serious questions, and maybe it's what you had in mind in your shayla. The Chazal knew full well that the hymenal bleeding is not Dam Nida. They were not ignorant, our rabbis. They knew exactly that the Dam Sulam was not the same as Dam Nida at all. Nevertheless, for various reasons, they imposed the stricture rabbinically, the status of Nida, even on the Dam Sulam. They went further than that. If the marriage is consummated completely and there's no Dam, she doesn't see any Dam at all anywhere. Nevertheless, the Chazal are machmer anyway. See here, they're strict anyway. But this stricture, we get this delicate challenge from a cousin. This stricture was only applied if it was a complete consummation of the marriage. The average cousin has no idea what's going on. Why? Complete, not complete, yes, no, maybe, that's what it's all about. So who does he ask? Guess the rabbi. That's exactly who you should ask. Who doesn't ask? He asked the rabbi, and the rabbi just talked a little bit, you know, and a man-to-man talk, and then we had a discussion of what exactly transpired. It's also in the other direction, because the din is, chuppas nida, if there was, if she was needed at the time of the wedding, we discussed that, which she had to even prohibited, and more than that, if she was not needed at the time of the wedding, but she became a needed right after the wedding, before they had consummated the marriage, then it's the same problem with the yichud. That's even worse. You have to start now with 12 days. It's going to be a disaster. We'll get to the 12th number later. So what often happens is the man, they attempt that relationship after the chasana, and it doesn't work exactly. So the post can have a discussion. They say if the beginning is called harosh, which is the face of the post we read in the Torah last couple of weeks, beginnings of the relations already took place between them, then many authorities are lenient. But if there wasn't even a beginning of a beginning, then you have to ask all kinds of shadows. Well, why was the beginning? Was there no beginning? How does he know? So you have to ask the robot, what happened? And you get these shadows, Kaseda. I'm telling you right now, I tell it to my Talmidim, but it's easy for me to tell it to women, because men, I tell you, I don't like to talk about these things, with all kinds of questions for you. Who remembers it? Many, many, many cases. I have Shilas, and I got to try to have only one Rebbe, there are many Rebbe's in the Yeshiva. Many times, a couple attempts to have the marital relations at the night of the fast, and it doesn't work. It doesn't work. For this reason, for that reason, she feels pain, even he doesn't know what he's doing, whatever. Nothing to be embarrassed about. It happens all the time. I think I told you last week, I'm very much opposed to those who wish to delay it. It's a terrible thing. The best effort is made, it just doesn't work. It doesn't work. You can ask a shout out by the Rav can even give you aids to what to do, with lubricants and aids and all kinds of things. I'm one of our experience in these matters. But it's important that at least an attempt be made at the beginning, because otherwise, if there's an onset of the period shortly after the marriage, it can be a real problem. I've had nip and tuck situations, you know, the time they're looking at the clock when the period is expected, and they have to try to, you know, at least have some kind of a something before to avoid the in effect Klippas Nida problem, and you know, and they need encouragement, and they have to give advice. And, delicate situation, obviously. That requires a shalom arrow. So here the UN is on. We will see soon that in order to start counting the 17 days, which should be the status of the year, you have to wait 5 days earlier before you get started, which we'll discuss in a moment. By a kala, by dam sul, you have to wait 4 days. That's what you're talking about. Wait one, not 2 days, that's 1 day less. That's what you probably heard. Yes?
Okay. If
the
beginning of assassination
already
took place and the
other parties
are...
Lenient. But there's no need, not that she sees that then she's a period the next day. We don't treat it as if it was, as if nothing happened yet. In which case, you have to start worrying about yichud and separation and everything like that. Okay. So she's like a regular need, and they can be in the same room together. And then she gets clean days. She's going to get to that. Tricky business. I'm speaking to the kids here, and if you don't understand what I'm saying, don't jump to any conclusions. I'm just giving you, I'm just sort of sensitizing you, but well, to the very shallow business area. And I'm not fully talking to the study that you don't understand what I'm saying exactly. If it comes to the mind, you have to ask the shallow. Talk very quickly. I can't explain everything at the time. One day, it should be obvious. Speaking of special cases, a woman who gives birth, or even if she had a miss, you have to have 7 clean days again, we'll discuss later what that means. And it's very likely that it'll take weeks till you can do this. People will come to me, Gaval, what's going to be, a baby, and now it's a month later, 2 months later, I'm still staining. Yeah, it happens. Especially if she's nursing, the hormones are out of whack. That's a problem. This character can be bleeding for quite a while. If a girl was born, or in the case of a miss, you don't know what it was, more than 40 days into the pregnancy, if you have to wait at least 14 days after the birth or the miscarriage before you go to the mikveh. But I'm telling you, experience of shadows, you'll never get there in 14 days. I can't believe it'll ever happen. In this context, I should mention, the whole Shiloh, what do you do if someone has the uterus open from the outside by some medical instrument and things of this nature? Some say the mere fact that it's opened up by itself causes the status of anemia. It's the Shiloh, the medical procedures that are involved. Okay, let's go right to this, you know, the Hefsek power with the 7th day. There'll be a lot of confusion about it. Alright? As I mentioned just a minute ago, the Hefsek Tara cannot be done until day 5. Day 5. She started seeing Dam on Sunday. She can't do the Hefsek until Thursday afternoon. Why? What's going to wash his feet? Why not? What? How? Where? The answer is as follows. We're going to soon have the Yom Tov of Shavuos. At Shavuos, you will read, if you come to this, hear the Torah read the first day of Shavuos, it says, Shloshes Yimei Hagbolah. The Shlosh Megbolah says, Al Tikshu El Isha. They cannot be with their wives in those 3 days. Why not? The end is not because of the men. No, the men, even though there's a din of Valkari, that there's a certain ritual impurity associated with relations, that easily eliminated. Go to the mikvah, and then the next day, the next night already, it's already completely tore. But the women are concerned. When a woman has a status that we call poletes, when certain amount of the zera is emitted from the body, that she has a status of a tmeya, of ritually impure. And particularly, it was inappropriate for the Kabbalah Satora for women to be in that kind of a situation. The situation exists for as long as the zera is potent. Can impregnate it, it's called zera, it's called nothing, water. How long is this? The big dispute among the Tanoim. Is it 36 hours? Is it 72 hours or something in between? It's interesting, the doctors have the same dispute even nowadays. Same dispute, nothing's changed. How long is the zera potent? Some say 36, some say we are marked with 72. 72 hours is of course exactly 3 days. But inevitably it spans 4 days, from midnight to midnight, right? And from midnight on one day, you have to wait 4 days in order to get the 3 24-hour slot, which is a total of 72 hours. So, what are we afraid about in essence, I mean, in theory? It says the woman was with her husband, okay? And right afterwards she saw down. Well, it was wrong. At the time she didn't see anything. That's what she saw down. Now we're afraid for the next 72 hours after the beginning of the period, she cannot start counting what she's called 7 clean days because of the status of poletes. She has zeras coming out of her body. So therefore she cannot start the count until the 4th day. 4th day. Why is it 5th day for? The 5th day, well, it should be the 4th day, should be enough. Wednesday, what do you have to wait until Thursday for? Well, this is Ramah of the Chumrah. They're afraid of being ashmashas, you know, the twilight zone, the confusion between day and night, and therefore the general rule is they have to wait until the 5th day in order to make the Hefsetara to begin the cleans and the Bedikah to start off the Shimon HaKiyim, starting on day 6. So we have a total of 12 days. 1 through 5 can't start. Days 6 through 12, the 7 days, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Those are the 7 clean days we'll discuss in a moment. Now for most women, I have to tell you in advance, and for most women it doesn't make a difference. In a regular period, it's rare the woman can get a clean hefsek before the 5th day of the start of the beginning of the period. It's rare. Most women say that the period itself, next week days, all right. Then you know, there's a little coming out on the 4th day, the 5th day. There are many women who have trouble even getting a hefsek on the 5th day. And if you have trouble, this could lead to what they call orthodox infertility. You get to the mikvah for the end of the ovulation, so watch out. So you have to be careful with this. Maybe it should be too mad for yourself. She doesn't shadow it, you know, it's better off. Maybe it's not really red, it's only brown, maybe it's this, it's that. These are all serious matters we should be discussing sensitivity if it comes up. Okay, so here we have our fine young lady where the period begins on Sunday. Thursday, she wants to make a clean Rebekah Hefsek Tara. What does that mean? That she should take a cloth, or a cloth they buy in the mikvah, wrap it around the finger, insert it internally, and go around and around and around with all the nooks and the crannies, all the korah musadokim. It's preferred that it should be inserted rather deeply, what's called ba'omek, but of course not chas v'shalom, so you know, you should tuck yourself. There are many kalas, and you know, I mean, you know, young brides, and it's a few months after they pass, they all got the problem, they don't know. They start pushing too hard and too deep, and they make the cuts, and you know, they have all other problems. The maka, be very careful, use a very soft cloth. The big cloth in the mikvah, pretty soft. I'm told the best thing to use is an old t-shirt, they told me. An old t-shirt has been washed 100 times. That's the softest kind of material. Some people put that. I don't know. That's what they tell me. The Bedikah cloth are usually pretty good. If you find it's impossible, it's dry and all that stuff, your Rabban will give you a hefset to wet it first. If it's real shatat chak, they may even give you a hefset to use clear Vaseline on it. You don't like that because it makes it alter the color or hide something. Don't use your finger itself, which doesn't work at all. Don't use paper, which just disintegrates. Don't use a tampon, which almost you can't get into the little corners. Go buy the cloths from the mikveh. That's where they get the cloth. If you don't want to do that, take the t-shirt. Somehow I have China's on handkerchiefs sometimes. I guess the woman has no alternative. Nothing else around, okay? But it's not the best kind of material for these things. When should this be done? So it should be usually done close to the shkia, close to the astronomical sunset. As I mentioned before, ideally, a woman should also be called a moch. What's a moch mean? She inserts something, either it would be the cloth or a tampon or something internally, and leaves it there for the entire time of Ben HaShemosh, from the time the sun sets until the stars come out. How long is that? Say about half an hour, we assume. In case another sound comes out, it will catch it. I always recommend if a woman sees she's clean in the morning, she can tell by the garment, by how she feels, you know. She should try to do a half step in the morning. I'm always afraid she's going to forget in the afternoon. When they come back, oh, I forgot, and I remember it's 5 minutes after the sunset, too late. Better to do it in the morning if possible. It's going to be clean. Midday. And then you should do it again closer to the sunset in case you forget. The early one will count as clean. Same time, I don't recommend an inordinate number of bedikas because too many times I've seen people cut themselves, infections, all kinds of things. It shouldn't happen. Anything in excess is no good. For this reason, I have a leniency against the Shulchan Aruch, which is not like that of my character, but just based on my experience. Shulchan Aruch says in the next phase called the Shiva, the key of the seven clean days, you are required to check twice every day. Once in the morning and once in the afternoon before sunset. And I tell people not to do it. Once a day is enough. And the reason I'm saying it, not because I want to be a liberal, go against the Shulchan Aruch. I've seen too many shaylos of the women, they check themselves too often, and they injure themselves. And that's why I say, if you really only need one a day, that's enough. Bidi Yevet, she forgot. It's enough to have day one and day seven. Don't have every single day. Day one and day seven, some do day one. Or day seven, the Shulchan Aruch say day one and day seven. Ideally, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, but there's a cut, or this, or that, day 1 and day 7. My biggest fear, though, is, and I've seen that more than once, that a woman says, okay, she'll do day 1 and day 7, but then she forgets day 7. It's a complete disaster. Before the Shulchan Aruch, she forgets day 7, she'll start all over again. It's more than a whole week extra. So for that reason, I tell a woman who has to do it, she can't do it every single day, to do it day 1, day 4, day 7. Do 3 instead of 7. 3 instead of 2. So in case you forget day 7, so you can do 1, 4, and 8, which many possibly say is also good enough. Obviously, these 7 days must be uninterrupted. She sees Dama anytime during that time, that week, she'll start all over again. Do Hefsek, the whole business all over again. Very aggravating, it happens sometimes. I had a shayla nebuch just yesterday, a man came into me with a rope, with a marav the seventh day. Seventh day, she read for that night. He was ready, no good. The nursing woman, and the nursing woman, the hormones are out of whack, and it's a big problem. What do you do? You can't make ready to not ready. Rabbi, we're not the Pope, you cannot give papal dispensations. Yes?
Why is that a secret?
That's what the Gemara requires. It's better to be close to the Shkina. If you're at work and you're at school and you can't, you're going to forget, do it in the morning, do it lunchtime, whatever, if you have a break. Much better to do it at home with your own leisure, with your own Caleb there. You don't have to do it out in the run. It'd be a problem. You can cut themselves in the bathroom somewhere and have it. Now with their own leisure, it's a problem. Yes?
If there's done during one of the 7 days, then you have to start over from 5 or from 7?
No, not 5. It's a 7. Not that bad. On the weekend, 12 days. Yes.
If you forget to do the bedikah on the seventh day, why is the Shulchan Aruch say to start counting the 7 days?
No, if you did only day, no. If you did day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, if you got 7, no problem, you do 8. But here it goes in stages. So, my rabbi told me I'm the one who wanted 7. There are certain rabbis who are doing it, they want it a disservice. Or the rabbis or college, do only 1 and 7. So anyway, so strictly speaking, the others are extra, so first of all, it's outrageous. To get the Shulchan Aruch. How can you say that? One, unless it's cuts, infections, and I agree 1 and 7, not across the board. I took it on myself, which is also a little chutzpah on my part, to allow only 1 per day across the board instead of 2 per day. The 2 per day is only a real extra for me. I see too many infections and cuts and bruises and this. Oh, okay, I thought that's it. But the goal of say 1 and 7 across the board, that's a big mistake. Aside from the fact that it's not right against the Shulchan Aruch, also because this other problem I had all the time. Hello, yes? My rabbi said it's enough that 1 and 7. Okay. And I forgot 7. And it's a refrain. I can tell you the story of my heart. I know already that I know. And then they have to start all over again. Well, the Shulchan Aruch.
So you just have to go back to the last day you checked? When I... If she forgot 7, she has to go back
and
to...
And then the next day, day 8 is day 1. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14.
And if the last day she did Vedika was, let's say, day 5, then...
Day 5 of the 7 clean days?
Yes.
And there's no problem. Then 1, 5, and 8 is good enough. As long as there were no... As long as there were not 6 days in a row, she didn't do Vedika. Right? Usually only 5 days. If you didn't do Vedika for 5 days, you did 1 on 1, and 1 on 7, you missed 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, it's still okay. But if you did 1 and day 8, and missed 6 days in a row, then the post will say it's not okay. That's the problem. That's the problem. These Vedikas should all be done by day, not by night. By day. Day means from sunrise till sunset. Some are lenient in a little before sunrise after the dawn, but it's better from sunrise till sunset. In the 7 clean days, they are called in the Gemara Yemei Libun, the white days. The white days? Because in those days, you're supposed to wear white. You wear white, white garments, white sheets, everything should be white. And the reason is in case something comes out, you should be able to pick it up. Dark blue or something like that. I never noticed it. Oh. So Bishas Adchak, in an extreme case where there's a big problem of becoming Tahora, the Kiveg of the post can say she's allowed to wear colored garments. Yes, Bishas Adchak, there's a problem becoming terrorist the violence. And more than that, if she wears tight white undergarments, which is what most women do say in the 17 days, many possibly say no need to have white sheets anymore. So all they did white sheets, they didn't wear undergarments. It's not tight anymore. So they had to have those sheets also white. I recommend you shouldn't have a white sheet in the house, period. Blue, I give the colors, blue, pink, green. And as far as the Shimon and Kiyama is concerned, you should wear the white tie down the garment. Good enough. No regular, no regular wears that all the time. My opinion. I know it's also a little bit of a radical view, but I'm just getting speaking from experience. If a woman has a white sheet, she'll leave it on. It shouldn't be on. And then there'll be a stain. And oi, what did I do over here? She doesn't own it. Like I tell some women, you should not have a piece of white tissue or clothes in the house. Everything should be yellow. Yellow tissue, yellow clothes, it should be a white nothing. So I often get child and say, didn't I tell him? Yeah, I wasn't home that day. I was in the office, I was in school, I was with my parents, and they all had white. All right, yeah. But it's better if it's yellow. If you have problems, you don't have problems.
Yeah.
Yes. There's one important issue which we didn't discuss, which is really critical. That's called Harchokos. Harchokos means that the Torah tells us that not only are relations prohibited during the period of Nida, but also those Sikrum. The Torah of Sikra, which means you shouldn't come close. What does it mean come close? So by Torah law, according to the Rambam anyway, it's called the Giyah of Yedera Kiba, affectionate touching, even if it's not relations at all, is prohibited in the case of Nida. Hugging and kissing and holding hands, those all kind of stuff. It's prohibited by Torah law, according to the Rambam, and other things of rabbinic law. It's only prohibited. What about touching shalom with derech iva, a non-affectionate manner? Here's an irony. Many pasukim, Moshe, for example, says that as far as a different woman, not your wife, so the giyah shalom with derech iva is permissible, strictly speaking. Puts in a famous for shaking hands, a famous shuv. So a rabbi shook hands with a woman. He probably assumed the shalom with derech iva, but kasha lismo ozeh. That's hard to rely on. Principally, it says but. So here, irony with your own wife. She's a Nida, so the Giyah Shalom and Derech Iva is prohibited. It makes sense, because you're familiar with her. You know, one thing leads to another, or you can do your own wife. And even certain kinds of levity, certain kinds of talk, which is inappropriate for a husband and wife when she's in the status of Nida. To be careful, to know, you know, every couple has its own way. You have to draw a line somewhere. Shulchan Aruch goes as far as to say that a couple, when she is a Nida, he's not supposed to pass things to her directly. And the reason is pretty obvious. If you pass it to somebody, very often you touch the person. You know, you get change at the grocery store. So it's always, you know, you get change. You pass things from one to another. So usually it's okay. So even if it's a man, a woman, man, it's not your wife, it's a no. There's no Easter of the Giyah Shalom, but there are people. In the front neighbor, they put the money down. But all right, but even if not, so, but husband and wife, but she's neither, according to Shulchan Aruch, it's prohibited. There are those who are lenient against the Shulchan Aruch, but the Shulchan Aruch says it's prohibited. You have to follow Shulchan Aruch. So, B'Shas HaTchak, you know, a very difficult case. You have a right to rely on the maybe on those who will go against the Mechal, against Shulchan, but only not as a matter of course. In my opinion, the Shas HaTchak is a baby. A baby. When Zohar, when Chazdei Hashem to have a baby, and then the status of Nido upon birth and later on, and so what do you do with the baby? How do you pass the baby from one to, what do you do? So in my opinion, it's mutter to pass the baby because it's a Shas HaTchak. The baby's like a chola, which is something that's a Shabbos, like a chola shem b'sakana. So I think it's all right in that kind of a case. I mean, I've seen once in a shoe store, someone walked into the shoe store, a husband and wife and a little baby, and I saw it. I tried to look the other way, but I couldn't help seeing it. It was a power. So the guy put the baby on the floor, and the wife picked up the baby from the floor. This is in Washington Heights. It's not, alright. But I can't fault them in the Shulchan Aruch, but there are certain posts to make when it comes to babies. If you're eating together at the same table, that has to be what we call a heker, something which is a sign for them. Well, I can use a napkin. Placemat, something they put a special kind of a salt shaker, which they're not using, it's just there for the show. There's a big dispute. Is this necessary for someone else to be around the table? They're not needed by themselves. So in my opinion, a person has a right to be lenient in this matter. So therefore, this is really very important to the question of tzniyus, of embarrassment. So, oh, you know, I'm going to put this heker there, and I'm going to see that, so, but except the leniency of others are around, so then not to worry about it. If no one else is around, then no one else is around. If someone else is around, then there's no need for this headcare, and therefore there'll be no embarrassment. Yes?
What if you designate like something like a vas or something to be, and then no one will know?
Very good. You have a vas. That vas is there as a hekir. It's only used at a certain time of the month. But people there are. Beautiful vas. Yes?
Like you're saying, that case of the baby when it's very obvious that they were doing it. Like, also, we should
put yes, you're right. You're right. You're right. Rav Moshe was asked to Shaila about this. How can we restrict these matters for the cause to lack of tzedius or embarrassment to the woman? So Rav Moshe wrote back, I don't understand. He said, well, what's there to be embarrassed about? If a woman does never, and neither is she sick. So I mean, it's on good health. I don't know. My little experience, these matters, they're very discomfortable. They don't want them to know where they are in their month, and it's nobody's business. And they, you know, I think there is an issue of tzedius and a busha. I think the couple should be, you know, Ezel, Chokha, Maros, and Olad. That's Kriyans kind of. That means to try to figure out a way in advance how to avoid sticky situations. If I'm willing to be lenient for you as far as the baby, that the babies, you can't predict the future. The ending can happen with babies. But everything else, the keys, the vase, the I don't know what, the all kinds of things have to be passed back and forth. Another thing is that you can accept. That you can't cast directly, but you're allowed to cast it into something which the other one is holding. That's why the ever-present pocketbook comes in very handy. So in my opinion, the man can put the keys into the pocketbook and take it out of the pocketbook. So you know, if you wear the key in the pocket, don't be a klutz, just take it like, but no, 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 don't, if you just be cool, that's all. You start getting all flustered, and then you go, oh, cool. Yeah, can you figure out that? That's finished. Yes?
Can that throw something like that?
Oh, that's a big question. So some say even you shouldn't even throw it to a director. It's Rika's of this problem. You're right, some believe, but some say it's a question. It's you. It's also halacha that a man's not supposed to drink the remnants of his wife's cup. We'll consider the therapy, but she takes a sip, he drinks the rest. Not allowed. More than that, he's not supposed to pour a cup of kiddush for her. It's a big problem you do on Friday night. Or Shabbos morning, what do you do? So there were two ways out. One is that the husband, that's the husband and wife by themselves. No one else is there. What does he do? He drinks up directly from his cups, roll cups, and puts it down. And then she's permitted to take it and drink it. He's not sending it to her. That's if no one is around. What if someone else is around, so you get a little, and I start to pour the other person too? So in my opinion, if you have a guest, the husband's allowed to pour two cups. One for his wife and one for the guest. But it's not clear which is which. Not clear which is which, therefore I think it's okay. He shouldn't pour a cup for her, she shouldn't pour a cup for him, except for water. Water's okay, not gonna fit the kosher. Other drinks, it's a problem. He's not supposed to sit on her bed when she's in that dinner. The bed they're not supposed to touch when she's in the dinner. There is a problem, it's certainly, you know, what do you do if you want it? At this time, it does touch, it never does touch. See if you're locked in the door of your bed and no one ever walks in, no problem. But if it's, you know, everyone walks in, all the kids and guests are walking in and out of your room, and it's, you know, whoa, this touch, it's ridiculous. A dead giveaway. So, either they should always touch, and then everyone's kicked out, they have to move away, or they should never touch. Whatever, it shouldn't be back and forth. That's not right. Okay? This is a very big Indian. Begin as we try to be as possible. Yes?
Can
you
sit
on this bed? What? Can you sit on this bed? Yes. Also, that one common headboard. That's connect, both beds are connected to that headboard. It's also not right. Also, she should not be making his bed when he's there and when he's looking. Also, our focus. Also, he's not supposed to look at the part of a body that ordinarily covers. damage. The Ramban writes, but you say, what is it? Maybe it's too open, maybe it's too close, maybe you go crazy, get the rally, look for sugar. Just do the din, and don't look for chumras in this area. That's what the Ramban writes. The same is true now, so many hundreds of years later. Have to end. I want to thank you very much for listening to me to on the Shagash for this whole term. I certainly enjoyed teaching, hope you enjoyed learning, and I hope to see you in the next Thursday. Why can't you?